morning, and we're listening to RBN Live, and this is Dr. Nick Begich, and the program today is Changing the Way We See the World, and we're going to be talking, as we always do every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. We're going to be talking about technologies and some of their applications. And today, for the first time since we've been doing this program, we're going to bring in a guest with us. Let me make sure he's online with us and can hear us okay. Richard, are you with me?
I sure am.
All right. Well, Richard Allen Miller is going to be my guest today. And Richard has a pretty interesting and eclectic background. He did a lot of his early work at the University of Washington, where he did his undergraduate studies. He was involved in the area of primarily physics at the time. He did a lot of work coming out of college and out of graduate school, working in the area of physics, primarily for military and other contractors. He's got a background in metaphysics and in that whole area of the edge of science and mysticism, but a very accomplished scientist. And one of his latest areas for the last, 20 years you've been involved in the agriculture and herbal business. Is that right? Richard, are you still there with me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I've got you.
Okay, yeah, I've been working for almost 30 years in agriculture now.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I found out what I was doing with the military, I immediately went back to becoming a dirt farmer. I didn't want to participate in some of the terrible things we were doing. And now, of course, I'm working with people like you because agriculture and actually the pharmaceutical trade, which is what I primarily address with the types of crops that we grow and so on, has turned into the new mafia. They're not interested in healing people. It's business as usual, like medicine.
Right.
And yeah, it's terrible.
Well, you know, this area of agriculture, you know, and this is, I think, one of the interesting correspondences, you know, your early work is where a lot of my present work has been focused. You know, just in terms of disclosures, you were sort of on the other end of that spectrum. And just for listeners, Richard and I have been friends for a few years now. We've been collaborating on a couple of projects. You know, we just finished our latest book on controlling the human mind, and actually Richard and I are working on a co-authored text dealing with sort of the technologies on the brighter side of that issue. So it's a big contrast too from Richard's earlier years. And today, you know, when we've been talking, Richard spent 10 days with me earlier in the year up here in Alaska doing some writing with
me. A wonderful time up there, too. It's beautiful up there, Nick.
Well, you came in the winter, which wasn't always the best time. But, you know,
wonderful.
In the course of that, this issue of some of your work in the herbal areas really caught my interest. And we were in the process of, you know, bringing in some new dietary supplements. And we got really excited about one of the areas that you've been researching, and it was this whole area of cordyceps.
Yeah. Let me say first, Nick, you did an excellent interview last night with Art Bell. I was impressed.
Well, you know, we do that. We do a lot of radio.
Well, yeah,
that was one of those last-minute unexpected ones. They called us in the afternoon.
Well, you did it nice. It was, 3 hours?
Yeah. Long stretch and makes for an early morning today.
So, before we get into the cordyceps, I just wanted to comment on our project. It's like when the first thing that happens when we make a discovery is that the first application is used in weapons, and that's what your book addressed, is the technologies used for political control, whereas now we're going to try to take those same technologies and maybe address medicine, or in our case, the evolution of consciousness, somehow adding a better twist to the direction the technologies are being applied to.
Yeah, absolutely. We're headed for a break. We're going to be right back for a long segment. We're listening to RBN Live. This is Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich, and you're listening to RBN Live. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich, and you're listening to RBN Live, and we're here every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. And I appreciate you being here with us. Richard Miller is my guest today, and we were just getting into the topic of cordyceps in this area that Richard ended up going into. But before we do it, I want to mention this leap, you know, coming out of the military projects and military sciences, you saw a lot of things that got a little bit frustrating. So shifting into agriculture was really a big and gigantic move, wasn't it, Richard?
Well, since recorded history, the country that controls the spice trade has controlled the world trade. And the United States, North America in particular, was like less than 10% of those market shares. And so my intentionality was to try to bring agriculture back into small farm agriculture back into some kind of stable base. I'm basically a small farm community advocate. It's a way of living. It's a way of being with other people, your neighbors and so on. That's all being lost now. And of course, it was like pissing up winds because while we started some serious movements in agriculture, the herb trade itself failed for the last 10 years. And most of my very, very good farmers have left that industry. And of course, now the pharmaceutical trade has basically taken over all of these alternative crops. And so now the second thing that's happening is it's not even when we went into herbs, the whole thing was about offering an alternative to Western medicine.
Right.
Now,
right.
Now it's just business as usual. They're not interested in healing you. If you go to a neurologist, he's going to put you on a script. He's not going to try to help your pain. He's going to try to help you make you in a position like Nexium or Prozac or some of these other drugs they market, where you're in the trough with an expense for the rest of your life. And that was not what the intentionality was about with herbs and originally.
Now, right. Now, when in terms of the small farmer, it's essentially then the same equation. When you got involved, it was looking for those alternative crops.
Yeah, everybody wanted to go out. Wanted to go out into the universe and farm. They wanted to be in the country. They wanted to have that rural experience. And it happened. It was a movement. It was wonderful. But now, when you do these crops and you can't sell them.
Right.
Well,
right.
Okay, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, it's a big dilemma, and a lot of these things come from now from Asia and are grown and used.
Well, they always did. That right. was the problem. You know, Hong Kong was the seat of spice trade for centuries, and then it moved to Vancouver, BC. That's where all the Chinese and all the money and the trade for spices moved up to Canada, and not to Hamburg. And what happened next was there was a systematic and methodical erosion at these niche crop markets to the point where there was overproduction. There was, it's a shame what's happening because basically farming in North America is the best buy there is. While there's cheaper from India, China, whatever,
right.
Per dollar spent, you get more for your buck with American agriculture, echinacea, golden seal, ginseng.
Right. Now, all quality and potency and
that's
conditions
correct.
Under which things are grown. Is that right?
You got more chemistry for the dollar that you spend.
There you go. And now this gets us back into this this area of cordyceps, which actually is a mushroom. Tell us about the history of this.
Sure,
herb.
Sure. Originally, there's a series of what we call pharmaceutical mushrooms that had found access in medicine, like in Japan, they found that Agaricus blasii worked on ovarian and breast cancer. They found that reishi, maitake, some of these other mushrooms did wonderful things for life expectancy and ailments like cancer.
Oh.
And so we noticed, but the emperor of China used to have thousands of coolies go out into the woods to pick this mushroom that grows up in Tibet called cordyceps. It grows at about maybe 14 to 18,000 feet, and because it was growing so high up in the atmosphere, it had to create its own oxygens to perform normal functions that all things live. And so it was extremely high in what we call beta-glucans and polysaccharides, which are these sugar forms of capturing oxygen molecules. And they noticed that the yaks, these animals that were wild up in that region, were eating this mushroom and somehow living better than when they did not eat it. And so studies were made on the mushroom probably maybe 60, 70 years ago, where they found that it would cure cancers, i.e.
Wow.
It was about the oxygen.
Are they using this around the world for that?
Well, yeah, of course. Now, of course, in the last 15 years, there have been serious studies on the fact that cancers, all cancers, cannot exist in an oxygen-rich environment. The problem was, how do you get oxygen into the body on a cellular level?
Right.
And that was what the whole thing was about. Now, it's gone way beyond that. Now, we have discovered that it is possible to hybridize. At first, they were doing extracts, trying to make the concentration stronger. And then some people here in America hybridized it for man. They injected some chemistry into the mycelium at a critical stage that caused it to hybridize, where the quantities of oxygen increased in the mushroom natural up to maybe 5.4 times. Now what we had...
Now, wait a second. Let me stop you there just so our audience
sure.
can catch up with us. You know, when you're talking about increasing oxygen levels, so what you said basically is because of where this mushroom grew, it created its own sort of metabolism adjusting to that low mm-hmm. oxygen environment, and then it ends up acting as a delivery system, really, to get oxygen
it's
into the
cells. It's unbelievable what can happen. When we get older... Our bodies start to make mistakes in the reproduction of cells, and that's where cancers come in, really.
All right.
It isn't.
So oxygen levels, so get back to that.
We have lower oxygen levels.
Right.
Our bodies are not as efficient with the lungs, et cetera, et cetera. And so it has always been known that, you know, older people need to sometimes supplement their bodies with oxygen so that they can live better. And they usually have to carry a tank around or something
right.
like that. But now we have a food that's so high in oxygen, you could probably eat it and live on Mars. I'm kidding.
But the hybridized version, so this hybridized version, you know, alters the natural chemistry in a way that does what?
Well, it kills all cancer cells. Cancers cells, individual cancer cells, cannot exist in an oxygen-rich environment. They blow apart. They're damaged cells in the first place. They're not natural cells. They're damaged cells. That's why they're cancerous. And when they start to reproduce on a gross scale in your body, that will often stop certain kinds of functions in your body from working properly, and you die.
Right.
And so what they try to do is they either go in and try to scoop it out, they try to burn it out with radiation or chemotherapy, somehow or another, trying to selectively kill cancer cells over other kinds of normal cells. The problem is most of our forms of chemistry are not indiscriminate. They just go in and wipe out everything, and so people sometimes die from radiation or chemo.
Right. Now, they're using this in combination with those more mainstream kind of therapies as well these days. I understand in some countries they're actually encourage the use of these kind of compounds, and even the pharmaceutical industry has been looking at these compounds or these mushrooms, these natural substances you can't patent, and looking for sort of the underlying chemistry so they can actually gain patent medicines to control the outcomes. Isn't that
would be the positive spin on what you think is happening? The more negative one, of course, is that they don't give a damn about the healing part, and like companies, I won't mention names, but that market chemotherapy or market radiation therapy have no interest at all in these mushrooms, and in fact will try to inhibit or cause roadblocks, like in Africa, for example. Well, I've got some terrible stories about what's happened in Africa because, of course, there have been numerous studies. I'm talking about hundreds of clinical studies to show that you can cure AIDS. You can cure hepatitis C. We had six friends right here locally at the domiciliary vets that were on interferon. All six of them now, after 6 months, are not even showing any presence in their blood. I mean, they're off interferon. It's like they're cured. Not cured, but at least it's maintained now because of these mushrooms.
Well, and there's you've mentioned to me that there are some clinical trials that are underway, so it's not just anecdotal.
Oh yes, our company alone is doing studies in Ghana, Swaziland, South Africa. These are the countries that absolutely need help. Now, here's another awful statistic. Right now, in all forms of cancer, you would have a better chance, statistically, a better chance of recovery if you went to Swaziland than you did here in North America.
Wow. You know, it's interesting that, you know, all of these new technologies, modern technologies, and then we end up going back to something used for thousands of years that gets hybridized. So it's better. It's more potent. I think I read that it was like 400% more potent than the natural stuff in terms of its.
Well, actually, it's even 500%. Yeah, it's 5.4 times. Yeah, it's unbelievable. That was designed for man and man's needs.
Well, hang on a second. We're going to the break. We're going to be right back. We'll continue this conversation with Richard Allen Miller, and you're listening to Dr. Nick Begich, and we're changing the way we see the world on RBN Live. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich. And you're listening to RBN Live, and we're here every Wednesday from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. Today we're talking with Richard Allen Miller about cordyceps and his background in the herb trade. And cordyceps is a compound we've been discussing the last few minutes that was originated in China and is being used around the world as a anti-cancer treatment, but it's being used for a lot more. I think this is maybe what is it good for the average guy, you know, increasing oxygen, you know, for athletes that has implications, for even the average person that has implications. Richard, what are people using this stuff for? And
The list goes on and on because of the various clinical studies for the spleen, the liver. Blood sugar is the big one right now. We're finding that people that are hypoglycemic or hyperglycemic, when they eat cordyceps as part of their regular food diet, their actual blood sugar swings are reduced 400 times. That means to less than one-fourth what they would normally be. People that would be considered diabetic are not. We had one client that has started eating massive doses of this product and went off dialysis at the Medford Clinic. Now, that's impossible according to our Western medicines. And yet, what it told me was that a lot of people are being misdiagnosed and started on these terrible treatments way before they need to. And this man's blood sugars are now normal. And just by eating this mushroom, that's what oxygen does. That's one of the things that oxygen does is it regulates the way your blood sugar metabolizes. And it's amazing the different kinds of things that it can be used. I personally think that this cordyceps hybrid, the hybrid form,
right,
is possibly going to be considered the single most important food development from the 21st century. And that's why I've chosen it as my swan song in leaving that industry, leaving some serious footprints in that industry, and then going back into my crazy physics like I did. Well,
you know,
Nick, I don't want to participate with these people anymore, you know?
You know, this is where it got, when you were up in the spring and we spent the time together, you know, we were doing some writing, and it's part of that leap back and leap forward, really, because
yeah,
you go back and use that physics and use that science in a more productive way. But you know, when we were right in the middle of creating our dietary supplement, First Elements, and we decided pretty early on in those discussions with you that cordyceps was an important part of our
diet. It's not only that, Nick. I'm writing right now for one of our chapters in our book will be an actual argument to say that what the oxygens do, and the cordyceps in particular does, is increases the ATP, the atrazine triphosphate, in the body. And I'm going to suggest that ATP is it's the second most important molecule in the body, where DNA is number one. ATP has to be present in order to have any enzymic process. It's the handshake. Starts and ends all enzymic processes. And I've got four of what I want is 10 proofs to show that ATP is where cold fusion processes occur in the body on a molecular level.
Energy is where energy is really produced by the body.
Well, because the conversion of energy from one form, it's cold fusion. Now, that means you can change elements in your body with this element, and that means you can redirect deficiencies in your body just by having ATP present. And this mushroom increases the ATP levels 28%.
Well, you know, this is, again, where it got pretty exciting for us. And we started, in fact, in this last week, one of the reasons we had you on is we launched a product called Eighth Element, which is the cordyceps hybrid in pure form encapsulated. And, you know, we did it mainly because we thought, you know, the people have missed this. You know, there's a few out there that are looking at this compound, but we think it's one of the biggest misses, you know, out there in terms of
diet. Well, it isn't so much
as
a myth. They're trying to not notice it.
That's it. Well, this is maybe the typical scenario. There's so many good alternatives out there. You know, and with any alternative, people should, you know, consult their physician, take a look at what they're doing. Never do anything, you know, without a physician's care. We sure wouldn't recommend somebody to go off of other medical
treatments. Well, that's the deal now. We've got a bunch of doctors in the domiciliaries across the country now that are using it in all of the domiciliaries for hepatitis C. They're using it now in some minor applications. They have not gotten into the cancer forms yet, but the clinical studies are solid. And they're solid in all the other countries. And probably one of the reasons the United States is a little behind in that is that this mushroom is not native except to Oregon State. It doesn't grow in North America per se. It's mostly Tibet.
Well, and this gets us back to this U.S. Production, because the hybridized version is grown in really strict conditions, as you explained to me.
Yeah, there are laboratory conditions. What we're doing is we're running clean room standards where we grow this mushroom in laboratory conclaves. It's certified organic by the state of California. The facility is now it's completely vertically integrated with its own processing and encapsulating, and we've had several assaults, not hostile takeovers, but pharmaceutical houses want in, and they want in on us now, and I think not so much to be in control of this, but to limit it.
All right, well, hang on. We're going to be right back after the break. You're listening to Dr. Nick Begich and my guest, Richard Allen Miller, and you're listening to RBN Live. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich. And we're here every Wednesday, and we're talking to Richard Allen Miller today on herbs, and we're talking specifically about cordyceps, this incredible mushroom, natural substance, a couple thousand years old at least. And let's get back into the story on this. Richard, you were saying just before the break a couple of things about this new material.
Well, it's being used now by the more advanced doctors that are interested. It's a food. It's not a drug.
Right.
It's generally recognized as safe grass, and there are no toxicity to it. The only thing that it seems to be doing to everybody is that when you take massive quantities of it, you have a looser stool.
Right.
Now, that, even me, and that, who cares? Those are toxins being poured out of the body. And literally, that's literally what's happening. It's going in and cleaning everything. And within about a 3-week, not six, within a 3-week period of eating these mushrooms, you literally feel better. It's amazing. It's just all about the oxygen. That's what it really is about. I don't eat as much sugar anymore. I have a need to eat as much sugar anymore. I feel more energetic. The Chinese athletes, Olympic athletes, are now using this to break their world records. This is what this is what's being used by countries now over steroids because it's legal and it works.
Right. You know, this is interesting. You know, we're going to be mixing callers in a little bit, Richard, because we've got a couple that have called in and have been hanging out for us.
Sure, no problem.
But we'll bring them in just a moment. I want to develop this just a little bit more, so callers, hang in with me, and we'll take those calls for Richard Allen Miller. You know, when you think about this type of compound, you know, because it's a natural substance, this is like one of the rules. They can't patent this as such. Is that right?
That's right. Well, we have a patent on the hybrid process,
right.
And that's why we sterilize, because there have been many attempts to zoom us, you know, and getting their own culture started and so on. Patents aside, the way we hybridize it, there's some technical papers on my website that talk about explicitly how it was hybridized. And what we've done is try to find specific cultivars. Those are strains of the mushroom that are particularly high in specific beta-glucans that we would then try to hybridize and make it even better.
Right.
You know, like for man. Making, you know, the corn cob not a big... You know, corn used to be less than an inch long.
Right. And this is, again, the genetic, and not engineering, but just being selective at the seed.
Right.
And
that's
matching
correct.
The seed
form. Hybridizing it for man so that it right. was directed toward the needs of man. You'll notice that insects do not have cancer, and that's why this mushroom apparently attached itself to dead insects to cause its forms of mutation, and that came back to oxygen. We even have a discussion on one of the technical papers on what parts of the DNA are literally changed to prevent the cancer forms. It's
wow.
Basically, cancer is going to happen. It's going to happen in all of us. The thing is, these cells are not well, and because of that, they can't usually survive very long unless your body starts to produce more cancer cells because it's making more mistakes, and then you need oxygen to go in and pop them out. Because none of these things, and I know I'm repeating myself, but this is the important part.
Right.
Cancer cannot exist in an oxygen-rich environment. And if you had better breathing, you wouldn't have cancer.
Well, like for even for people doing athletic work or running or general energy levels, it's all about the oxygen there, too.
That's
so,
correct.
So athletes, after a couple weeks, should be able to notice they can run longer without a rest. They can their endurance should increase. People's general stamina
should
increase.
Yeah, that's why we
have
this special pill out called Performax. What you're doing different is that you're making a power pill that's like the great big silver bullet that's going to go in and kill those vampires.
Well, this was the that's the eighth element that we just developed
yes.
with your help. And you know, the thing about all of this that excites me is these alternatives are readily available. They tend to be relatively low cost. Some of the clinical trials that you're involved in now are addressing really chronic disorders that are terminal disorders where, you know, at that stage, why not try a dietary supplement?
Well, here's the deal. It turns out that AIDS is not a virus. It turns out that it's a mycobacterial that doesn't filter. And once we knew that, you can go in and get it. And why is not the American public being told this?
Well, this is, you know, it's the same old game.
Publish.
You know, it's big business and, you know, big issues. You know, I've got a caller hanging in, Richard. I'm going to
sure.
go ahead and bring Ramon in. And or is it Ramona? Which one do I have on here?
Yeah, hi. This is Ramon.
Hey, Ramon. You're on with Nick Begich and Richard Allen Miller. You got a question or a comment?
Sure. Specifically, you referenced that, or you were referencing that it was taking over the processes that are used in interferon. And personally, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in '98, and interferon is one of the, or actually, there are three of the main drugs that are used for treatment of MS. And so I'm
yep.
wondering, what is the action that, or have you done any studies, or are you going to do any studies? How does it work?
How does what work? You mean the mushroom?
The mushroom.
Yeah, with the HIV, or let's be more explicit, like the hepatitis C, is a virus that settles in. Well, I'm not going to get into the technical part, but what I will say is this. What the mushroom does is by providing oxygen to that part of the body, and now we have a new delivery system we're working on, which is a nanopowder. It's 40 nanometers, so you can apply it directly from the outside of the body directly to the organ using DMSO or whatever carrier system you want, because the 40 nanometers just go straight in. There's 100% absorption. That part of it is going to direct the oxygens directly to the places in the body that are needed. And what we're finding is people that are eating this stuff in large quantities, it's murdering the hepatitis C. It is literally where there's no presence detected in the blood.
Really?
And when that happens, then, of course, interferon is not needed. Interferon is actually a one-way door that you'll never get better.
Richard, to go back to the caller on the MS issue.
Yes.
MS is multiple sclerosis. It's an interesting disorder. One of the things that I know is being used successfully in Europe in treating this disorder is an electrolaser acupuncture method. And I'm going to direct the caller to take a look at a website. It's emred.fi for Finland. And it's in English and in Finnish, so you can look at the English version.
That's interesting, yeah.
And she's done some very remarkable work, you know. Their method is actually licensed, certified in Europe. These lasers are used and have been successful at treating MS. And so take a look at that website. And
okay, let me just ask one more question. The interferon, there's many different interferons, and I was just wondering exactly what interferon was used for the, I'm sorry, my wife was asking me a question, but anyway, for that you're referring to that's used for AIDS or...
Yeah, what happened is, I have some friends that are vets that are in the local domiciliary out here, and one of them came to me and said, you know, they just put me on interferon, I don't want to do this anymore, what do you have as an alternative? And so I suggested he started taking the mushroom. Well, he did that without letting his doctor know, and his doctor started making measurements and said he didn't need the interferon anymore. And that's when he told the doctor what he was doing, and the doctor, being one of these good doctors, wanted to know more. And so he called me directly, and we started an experiment where there were five others on interferon that are no longer on it by just eating a change in their diet. The diet was, you know, including this mushroom. And that apparently was good enough to take all six of them off. And because of that, now I've got 17 other domiciliaries around the United States now, a big one in Austin, Texas, that's using it for cancer treatment.
That's where I'm at. I'm in Austin, Texas.
The facility there at the domiciliary in Austin is now using some of our mushroom. I don't have the doctor's name on my mind,
tell you what,
but I can
Richard,
run it down.
Let me give your website, and then this caller can actually email you
directly,
communicate with you on this, and I'll give it. It's www.nwbotanicals.org. Again, www.nwbotanicals.org. We'll
that's
get you
right, for Northwest Botanicals, and I'm the little creature under the bridge, the org.
you'll be able to get hold of them.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Ramon. And the other thing I want to mention is we also have one of Richard's papers on the hybridized cordyceps and some other information on cordyceps at
on
our
website,
and that's earthpulse.com, earthpulse, earthpulse.com, to see those papers. And it'll give you a little bit more background, but check out emred.fi for Finland. For some information on MS. I think you'll find it there. At least correspond with those folks and they can get
you
directed.
That's your friend that you talked to me about, Nick?
Right.
She's
an electrophysiologist, Anu Michaela. Her dad was one of my mentors, Rejo, and she's just a brilliant, brilliant person doing some really excellent work. And, you know, not everything solves everything, but again, general energy is usually an issue with all of these degenerative disorders, things that really take away your general stamina and ability to keep up. And so, you know, anything that adds oxygen to the system, anything that increases ATP production, all of these things are adding energy in where energy is otherwise depleted, something I think probably most of us can use these days. But going back to this, you know, there's been lots of studies. Most of them are in Asia. Not too much coming out in the U.S. Right now. I mean, there's some new stuff going and some new things underway. You know, what's going on with all of that?
We could go into conspiracies, which I won't, but, about the microbiologists that have all been disappearing or found dead?
Right.
There's some stuff going on in the world where the intentionality is not for healing, but for control. And, of course, the rationale is there's too many people on Earth, so it's okay. It's not okay. And that's why I'm leaving this industry. This is why I chose this as my swan song. I'm going to leave a footprint here, and then I'm going to go back and doing crazy physics like you are. And,
yeah,
well,
that's a little more interesting maybe, but I think chemistry is something we don't want to lose either because you've done such great work over 30
years.
Yes,
but the deal is it's really, it's like, how do I explain this? It's like the first thing that happened when I make a discovery is it's used as a weapon,
right,
or it's not interested because it's going to work. And so I become very frustrated because I'm basically, trying to do the right thing. And when I found all my work with Navy was being used for weapons, that's wrong. And it's like using nuclear energy for an atom bomb. You can use it in medicine to cure as well. And the thing is, the first intent is to use it as a weapon in the pharmaceutical trade. It's to make money, not to cure people. And so what I'm going to do now is go back and try to take some of the work we did, you did, and show how it could be used in a more positive spin, you know, like
right,
the evolution of consciousness.
Right. You know, this is an important thing because I think you're not alone in this. I think there's a lot of scientists, senior scientists, their career points now where they're looking back on the whole of their work and saying, you know, how can I apply myself in a way that does really
more positive spin?
Thing. Take all this experience from, for you, 63 years of living experience and put it in to a frame that is more productive than maybe governments have done.
Spirituality isn't what you do, it's how you do it. And, you know, I think we've missed the boat here. And there's a few people that have control of the masses. You know, mind control has many faces to it. You know, the fact that we know that 9/11 didn't really happen, that the Pentagon wasn't really hit with an airplane, that Bush probably really didn't win the election, and yet nobody cared because really our problems are how to deal with a daily rent.
Right.
That is mind control at its very finest, you know, where money isn't really real, yet it is what we all strive for and miss the boat.
Well, you know, and I think this is the pharmaceutical industry. There was a great book. It was unfortunately never released in the U.S. It was called Dirty Medicine, and it's like nearly 1,000 pages. You probably find it on Amazon, but it was by Martin J. Walker, and this was an expose written in the late 90s about the pharmaceutical industry and how they really treated a lot of symptoms, got you involved in a lot of pharmaceuticals, but in the end, very, very few things outside the trauma type of injuries were cured. And I think this is where the alternatives get pretty exciting because they start to address the underlying mechanisms within our bodies that regulate the entire system.
Right. Well, see, now, like allergies, you know, that ad that you had on there for oregano. Really, oregano has got antibacterial, antiviral properties to it, and so this will work. But really, allergies are controlled by the parasympathetic nervous system, and it has absolutely been proven that you can reprogram using hypnosis, biofeedback, variety of technologies, you can reprogram the parasympathetic nervous system, so you do not respond to things like allergies. Allergies aren't about the pollen. They're about your body's overreaction to the pollen with histamine releases. And if
right,
you can control the histamines, then you don't need chlorothymetron and some of these medicines that they give you that masks those symptoms. And the technologies have gone toward masking rather
right,
than the underlying symptoms. Like,
well, that keeps you on the medication forever.
That's correct.
The whole deal is,
that's,
you know, don't
deal,
take this.
You go back and get more.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's an unfortunate miss because now even the alternatives now are being referred to often as complementary because it's not like this or that. It's, hey, wait a minute, let's look at everything.
They have at every angle tried to stop herbs. You know, the first thing they did was try to find out that there was something wrong with St. John's wort, that this was wrong or it was counteractant to pregnancy. Yeah, and then when that didn't work, then the second thing they did is they started putting the wrong amounts in bottles where they would lie. That's why Andrew Weil got busted on 60 Minutes. He didn't know goat turds from pork and beans. He was so, well, I don't know how to explain it other than he's a spokesperson for the pharmaceutical trade, and of course the misinformation that you can get from some of these kinds of people that you key off of and trust, that was what 60 Minutes' primary thrust was. You know, they pointed out that he didn't even know what he was talking about, and yet Millions of people were keying off his words.
Well, you know, this is, again, you know, with so much change in the industry and education, and the pharmaceutical industry has taken a couple of steps. You know, there was listeners to this network remember back again in the 90s when there was an attempt to regulate all dietary supplements. Biggest outpouring of objection by the United States population in years. We're going to come right back after the break. We're listening to RBN Live. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and we're listening to Changing the Way We See the World with Richard Allen Miller as our guest. We'll be right back in just a minute after the top of the hour break. We're going to be continuing another hour with Richard, so stay tuned, and we'll talk to you soon. And welcome back to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich, and we're talking with my guest, Richard Allen Miller. Richard, let's continue our conversation a little bit here. You know, we're coming up to the top of the hour. I want to mention again our website, earthpulse.com. I also want to mention that research for this program, for the segments that we cover on technology, is often research provided by the Lay Institute, layinstitute.org. And Richard Allen Miller's website is nwbotanicals.org for those that are interested in more information on Richard. Richard, you know, this whole issue, this big jump for you, you know, kind of leaving the leaving the industry and headed into going back into a new direction. I think you kind of drag this with you only because it's such great technology. You know, you've written, I think that you told me at one point, 60 books and
I have 60 titles, yeah, but that means they're in different languages. I've got probably 15 different titles in a zooming different, even in Hebrew and Greek. Can you imagine?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, after 30 years of writing and, you know, a lot of crossover in the disciplines, and I think this is another a unique part of who you are as a scientist, the fact that you've looked at not just one narrowly focused specialty, but you've looked at a lot of different disciplines that have given you a good background that have combined the science maybe a little more uniquely. You know,
I didn't find answers in physics. You know, when I was working for the Navy and we were doing paranormal studies, and you don't find answers with physics, where do you go next? And so, of course, the first thing I did was to learn Greek and Old Hebrew, start translating my own Bibles, looking for answers there, you know, the Torah and the Mishnah and so on. But I didn't find answers there either. So where do you go? And the next thing was the occult, the hidden, the not for man studies. And I started to get a broader perspective of the possibilities. I think the first problem in physics is that there's no law in physics that has lasted longer than 20 years, which means physics isn't offering ultimate answers either. And it changes every 20 years. The only thing So with that concept, what does this all mean? And I think that the first error I found for myself was that there is a separation of the mind and the body. And you can't do that. And so my current writings with Nexus, with you, are discussing the non-local mind in a holographic universe. The concept that the universe isn't quantized, it's more holographic in nature, and that the mind is actually creating our reality in our imagination. In fact, it was James Hillman, et cetera, that has said, imagination is reality. That's where all of it starts, is in your mind's eye. And from there, you know, my website used to have this big banner, it's off now, but I had this big banner that said, I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't have believed it. And you have no idea how actually true that literally is. Our belief systems and values shape what we are and what we can become and what we can realize. And really, beliefs and values are like pairs of clothing. If they are not meeting your goals and needs, what's wrong with that picture? It means that you need to go in and rethink what your values are.
Hey, coming up to the top of the hour, it's good to be talking to scientists that think about values and ethics as a priority. And we're going to be back after the break. Richard has been through an interesting road in his travels, and he's learned a lot along the way. And, you know, no matter which path you follow, when you're seeking truth and looking for answers, they always appear. You're listening to RBN Live, and this is Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich. And welcome back to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich. And we're here every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And today we're talking to Richard Allen Miller, and the subjects we usually cover are deal with technology and science issues. Richard is one of my good friends and somebody who's been involved in a couple of branches of science of interest to me, both on the health side with his career in herbs, and probably one of the best field guys in herbs in the country. In fact, you, even right now, you've got a bunch of guys in the field doing your summer harvest. And this is, I guess, your busiest
time. I did a truckload of pine cones yesterday and one Monday, and I've got another one going out Thursday.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting.
Money grows on trees.
It's mining the underbrush, you know, literally.
They're byproducts, and what we're doing is actually reducing the fire hazard in the woods. So the Forest Service likes us out there, and because we're cleaning the woods as we pick up the pine cones, we reduce the fire danger and hazards. The cones are spent cones. Usually it's just there's nothing in them anymore. There might be root borer moth or some other moth,
right,
you know, but not now because there's nothing in there for them to eat. Seed is gone. And so the pine cones are a byproduct that previously used to come from either China or India.
Right.
And so it creates work in an environmental place that does not have a good cash flow and or way of making a living because logging is prohibited now.
Right.
And yet at the same time, we're keeping the woods from burning down.
Right. You know, this is one of the areas where you've really done a lot of work. And I think, again, your site is a good site to look at, northwestbotanicals.org. You know, some of the things that you've done. You were on the, weren't you on the governor's commission or a governor's appointment there in Oregon?
I chaired under three governors the New Crops Development Board for the Oregon Department of Agriculture. But guess what? We don't even have a New Crops Development Board anymore. Why? Because Oregon is no longer an agricultural state.
Yeah.
Why? Because they would rather focus on tourism and recreation. It's nuts. You can go to Smith River, which grows 4,000 acres of lilies, and have that feel of a farm community. And right next door is Brookings, Oregon, which is, you know, big business with Walmarts and
cakes. Right.
You know, and where would you like to live? If you can have access to Costco, it was less than 20 miles away, would you rather live in a farm community? Because if you have farming, you will have your tourism and recreation. But if you have tourism and recreation, farming's gone. And right now, Oregon used to have a thing called LCDC, which prohibited the use of agricultural land being changed into commercial land, and that's all gone. That's gone now. And all our farm communities, the reason I moved to Grants Pass was that this was a farm community at one time. Well, now we have the finest meth labs in the country. I mean, we should be so proud.
It's a problem all over the country. You know, and the thing about small farmers, we have a lot of small farmers listening in on this broadcast today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's the plight that everyone is in. You know, this year's probably going to be a lot worse. We've talked about it before just because of energy and fertilizer costs. And this is, again, where some of the alternatives made sense. And like you say, an industry that was based in Asia and China, where we have the capability of doing some
things. Well, that's what made the United States strong in the first place was our, you know, Midwest Farm Belt.
That's right.
And that was what has always made us strong. And what's happening now is that all these kids, like myself, that went out and learned how to farm, now have no markets available to us. And what are we going to do? And the problem is that right now the United States needs 60,000 new small farms. And the problem is, who's going to train these kids? Most of this is a hands-on thing where they pass it from one generation to another, because most farmers are multitaskers. They're like physicists. They have to know how to weld, animal husbandry, you know, et cetera.
Well, we're coming right back after the break, and we'll be back with Richard Allen Miller. We got a long segment coming up, so stay tuned. You're listening to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich, and you're listening to RBN Live. And welcome back to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich. And our guest today is Richard Allen Miller. And we've been talking about cordyceps. You know, we were talking about the plight of the American farmer. You know, an interesting thing happened when we first posted on our website the Cordyceps articles and issues, we immediately, I mean, the next day got contacted by Chinese suppliers of these.
I know. Yeah.
Boom, immediate. You know, and my response to them was, look, I'm not interested. And then they came back with, you know, the sales pitch. And then I had to, you know, and I was trying to be polite, you know. And then I emailed them back and said, no, you don't get it, is I don't want to do business in China.
You know what the deal is? The problem is China is not regulated. And because China is not regulated, you have no idea what you're really going to get from China when you buy something.
Well, and that's part of the problem, especially on something like this and third-party
certifications. Well, they were wildcrafting it. They're cultivating it now like we are, but
they
don't have the hybrid. They do not have the hybrid.
Right,
the hybrid is the thing that's giving us legs.
Oh, yeah, they sent me the photos and the whole thing. But, doing business in China, you know, it's just philosophically, for me, I'm just not willing to do it. I won't make the leap, even to save a few bucks.
Well, China isn't the bad person. It's the management of China.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
Chinese people are like anyone else. They're human beings. It's the leadership that always kind of messes things up. And, you know, with this substance originates from China, in this case, instead of us transporting technology there, we're evolving, and with your work, you've evolved this new hybridized version of this technology, brought it to the United States, where now in laboratory conditions, they duplicate 14,000-foot oxygen levels in atmospheric conditions and actually grow a better product in the U.S. with quality controls and third-party certifications, the kind of quality control you can't get in Asia and overseas on these substances.
There, you got called when you put it up on your website. I got threatened when I got it online. There were threats. There were all kinds of weird things going on. The thing is, they can't compete. And because they can't compete, then they're going to try to do something else. And it's, you know, and all it's about for me is not trying to come up with a better product. It's coming up with the right product that will really do something to help man. And I don't think anybody in those trades are really, that's their first motivation. I don't think that's what it's about at all. I think it has to do with money and control of a given ingredient. And actually, competition is good. Competition keeps things more honest.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's like the same game. It's just not the, you know, necessarily every worker in these industries, but it's the leadership and their approach. And
that's right.
The way science is developed, and, you know, the FDA is sort of manipulated in certain instances.
Well,
that's
a bully boy for the feds, you know. I mean,
sure.
It's like, yeah. You know,
well, think about
agendas.
The attacks on the pharmaceutical industry has made on dietary supplements and even things like foods. I mean, the things we're talking about today. And in the U.S., when those attempts were made, we said before the last break, you know, there was the biggest outcry of the American population on a regulatory agency ever in our history, because people were so upset from the right and from the left. Everybody was upset that our supplements might be restricted. Now, in Europe, they succeeded. Now, in Europe, like for vitamin C, which you can get as a pretty standard 500-milligram dosage in the U.S., or even 1,000 milligrams in Europe, you're lucky to find vitamin C without a prescription at 30 milligrams, virtually useless. I mean, when you look at what they've done, they've created such a low potency that there's absolutely no alternative or complementary medicine value, and anything else is restricted by licensing.
Well, you've said it. There's going to be a civil war at some point, and there's going to be a breakdown. Canada is also doing the same thing with the regulations of their nutraceuticals, or what they call them, and it's actually that's why I'm leaving.
Let's hope that fight doesn't get ended too prematurely. You know, Americans last time raised the flag at the right moment and stopped the regulations from coming in. Maybe we'll do it again. You know, I listened to a really interesting documentary, and it was that there was absolutely no restriction on any pharmaceuticals or dietary supplements until 1906. Before then, it was considered unconstitutional. Think about this, unconstitutional to regulate what went into people's bodies. And so what they
did. Yeah, you had the right to poison yourself with beef if you wanted to. You had the right to eat sugar if you wanted to. And you had the right to smoke cigarettes and drink alcohol if you wanted to. They're all poisonous.
Well, the restrictions came attacking the illicit drug trade. Morphine, cocaine, heroin were epidemic, not for the same type of person maybe today, but they were middle class, 5% of the U.S. population in 1906. They actually passed the Tax Act, the Hatch Act, which taxed prescribers and made them keep meticulous records, and that's the way they kind of did the end run around the Constitution. Well, you know, dietary supplements and protecting the public is certainly an important issue and one that we can't lose sight of. And in a show like this where we've talked about the use of herbs and substances for, you know, for health purposes, always check with your physician. There are a lot of enlightened physicians that are willing to work with patients in their normal therapies and try some things. And, you know, in these terminal issues, certainly nothing can be lost in that under a physician's care. And the alternatives for just general health, when foods are released and they're available, try them. You know, they're not restricted in that way.
Well, there's a big problem there, though. Look what happened to St. John's Wort. You know, when it first came out, it was suggested that this would help depression. And what happened next was the top companies didn't actually put in the bottle what they said was on the label. That's where Andrew Weil got busted. Now, if you had heard an ad about St. John's Wort, you were depressed, you went down to the store and you bought a bottle, let's say the cheapest bottle that you could find, and tried it out, and it didn't work, what would you do next?
Well, you wouldn't
buy another bottle?
Oh, and that's exactly the situation. And this
that's
is again
exactly
where
what happened.
Where often these imports aren't what they say they are, like things coming in from China in this area. You know, a lot of times they substitute, or they mix things differently, or they use them, you know, a different species altogether. Because unless you test for the compound, you're not going to even know it. And this is and potency in dietary supplements and regulation of potency. Sometimes the way in which things are prepared, processed, held on the shelf for too long. I mean, lots of things affect potency. And again, this is something that, you know, the industry is working on. I know that in terms of organic farming, certification processes have been evolved over the years. The same with dietary supplements and maintaining quality standards. When you start to look at the possibilities of all of these things, that's where it gets exciting, because we're seeing now better explanations, better chemistry, not necessarily coming from the mainstream, but coming out of those that have worked in the mainstream science and have just a different view and are trying to project that view by creating a little bit different use of these technologies.
Right.
You know, and when you got into this, you know, and as you're moving into the other areas, this still remains an important thing, because improving human potentials are really all about that. And there's a lot of things beyond what we've been talking about today that can do this. And this is like the food side of the equation and what we put into our bodies to make available the basic building blocks. And that's what some of these compounds do. Now, mushrooms are very unusual because of what they do to break things down in the decay process.
That's right. That's right.
And maybe you can talk a little bit about that and why mushrooms become useful in pharmaceuticals because of the way they work in that process.
Well, I don't have a lot of background in that rap, but I can tell you that the simplicity of the mycelium's physical structure in the DNA is such that it has a kind of built-in immunity factor that will fake or mask. What it does is basically create a pattern that makes it seem like it's an antigen, and then what it does is it goes in and it actually reduces the antigens, and that's how and why insects really don't have cancer, is because there is a symbiosis rather than a parasitic form in the way the mushroom integrates itself into the DNA. It's a symbiotic kind of relationship. And as such, it replaces what the antigen would do and instead does not allow the antigen then to actually integrate into the DNA like a herpes or something like that
might. Right.
And that's why I think maybe mushrooms may ultimately be used to stop things like genital herpes. I think that because of the way it integrates itself in to the DNA over what the antigen would do, doesn't leave a place for the antigen. It fakes the antigen out, and it's out. And that's Yeah, go ahead.
This is like because these mushrooms grow on essentially insects, decaying.
Dead insects, yeah.
Right, and so it's using
they're
that.
They're taking the insect's genetic code and masking it into its own, and insects don't get cancer, and so what it has now is an anti-cancer element in the DNA, actually
right.
At the 25th site on the DNA. There's an article that gets explicit on where that is, so that when you take this thing in, you automatically have the same kinds of combative things that insects have where they don't have cancer as an existing possibility in their
right.
DNA.
Right. Now, and the other part of this that I read that's kind of interesting is, you know, because of what mushrooms, the role mushrooms play in the decay and breakdown, they're competing with all kinds of, biological entities that really would like to eat up whatever it is the mushroom is competing for. And so it really is a competition that sort of, again, creates within the mushroom compounds that really allow it to compete effectively with these other things that would rather decay those bugs and insects. But on the same time, you wrap the DNA and these unusual chemical properties that create this really powerful set of chemical compounds. We're going to be right back for another segment. We still have a good bit of time to go, and callers can call in and engage us in this conversation at 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443 if you have a question or want to get in with a comment. And welcome back to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich and my guest Richard Allen Miller today. And we're talking about cordyceps in the pharmaceutical industry. Richard, before the break, we were just starting to get into
sure.
A little bit of this discussion. You know, we talked about, you know, sort of the pharmaceutical industry and the regulation on a lot of this. And, you know, I guess what really has bothered a lot of us is that the continual attempts at regulation. You know, it's got to the point where you can't decide anything for yourself anymore.
Well, you know, and with the way television and ads are punctuated, it's hard to compete. You know, buy it now. You know, I mean, how can you compete with that unless you're turned on all the time? I agree. There is a terrible thing happening, and the person that's out in the woods somewhere or in the middle of the country, you know, it's hard for them to make a decision on what's real. You have to go inside, keep a diary, like when you eat these different kinds of foods and how you feel.
Right.
A lot of people don't do any of that kind of thing, and so they don't have founded opinions. Like, their opinions are valid, but they're not maybe founded on valid data, or they misremember things. That's why diaries are so good, because you can go back to a diary 20 years later and see how you actually felt about something, rather than trying, because memory changes. Memory
right.
changes all
right.
the time, yeah.
Right. You know, that's one of the reasons, you know, over the years and all the stuff we publish, we stick to really what's sourced in documents for that very reason. We very rarely use a word-of-mouth kind of testimony or
right.
Use that as a footnote, only because memory is faulty. And when people publish material that's pretty much locks in the thoughts at the time, granted things can change and new information comes in. And as you said, science changes about every 20 years. You know, that's a pretty amazing thing, you know, when you think about something that's supposed to be so foundational and rock solid.
We've talked about this. You know, the Hopi, for example, have sand paintings. And these sand paintings can cause changes in the weather. They build a sand painting and it starts to rain. And they're like the Buddhists. They when the rain's over, they take a sweep of the hand and turn the machine off. You know, a solid state physics device looks an awful lot like a sand painting. And whether or not we talk about mobility and event horizons in the lattice of a solid state physics crystal, how come the Hopi can do it without that kind of physics? And yet they're able to do things we can't. The Aborigines. I did this interesting talk on ESP where we were in Mission Control when Edgar Mitchell did his ESP experiments, you know, on the Apollo 15
right,
mission.
Right, right. You're involved in that.
One of the things that Mitchell said, I mean, it's historically documented. He said, there's something outside the capsule and it looks like an Aborigine. And what it was some Aborigine had built a bonfire and went up into space in the smoke. How did that work? And, you know, physics doesn't have those kinds of answers because of their limitations in separating the mind from the body and the fact that we've already known that quantum mechanics doesn't work. Last week, CERN's in Switzerland created the first mini black hole in history, and it absolutely proved the existence of dimensional physics. And yet, have you read anything about that anywhere in the media yet?
No, and you know, this is again one of the purposes of our program is to try and translate, you know, some of the complicated science, bring it into plain English so we can all deal with it. And you know, today's program we've talked a lot. Some of it's a little more complicated than some of our listeners might
like. Yeah.
But you know what's important here, Richard, is you know, we've got a cross section of folks and getting the technical information and getting it in layman's terms is really what it's about. And when you start to think about some of the science that's being developed, we really need this right now. You know, it's about the
science is already, you know, in the early centuries of Egypt and so on, their science has always included a mystery school and the place where there are some things that are not knowable, like God. And basically, we have forgotten that in our current set mindset, where a physicist will say, yes, but in 32nd century, we will understand how this works. And really, it's not about how it works. It's about how you understand it in your own mind's eye. Now, and that is quite different than technology.
Yeah.
And it's the imagination aspect, that quality of unknownness where it comes to you as a aha, and you see it in your mind's eye how it all works.
Well, you know,
doesn't mean if it's right.
Yeah, this is interesting because one of the big conferences I attended was this one, Religion, Science, and the Environment, and it was sponsored by the Orthodox Church, which actually traces its roots to the island of Patmos and the Revelation of John, who wrote Revelations. And, conference was on science. It's called Religion, Science, and the Environment, brought together Nobel Prize-winning scientists, religious leaders. And one of the things that, the big thing that came out of this was the agreement that science and religion maybe shouldn't have split. Maybe there was some things in religion that mattered. For instance, intuition, that aha moment. You know, nothing out of science or any other field of human expression springs from the status quo. You know, it does.
Yeah.
It's on the edge. It's on the mavericks. And, you know, that's what always has interested me about science, is the mavericks are the ones who approach it with a little different view. It's the same approach that you've taken. You're one of the most maverick-type scientists I know. I mean, you and I have had that discussion.
Well, yeah.
It's what makes science interesting. It's imagination that is worth so much more than all the book learning in the world. It's that spark that is our expression of the creative, that part of us that is, in fact, the expression of the Creator himself. We're going to be right back after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to RBN Live. We're talking to Richard Allen Miller on Changing the Way We See the World. And welcome back to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich, and you're listening to RBN Live. And this program is brought to you every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. Today's guest is Richard Allen Miller, and we've got actually Richard, a caller hanging in. Mariah, are you still with us?
Hello?
Hi, Mariah. You had a question or a comment for either myself or Richard?
Yes, I did, and I'm kind of nervous because I've never called into a show before. But
well, I'm glad you're calling.
Good, we're both nervous.
But I was intrigued by your conversation about the laws of physics and their metaphysical content. And what I wanted to say is that, you know, that's how God has made us in his image, is because of what you were talking about, imagination.
Right.
I mean, just the word metaphysical means higher than physics.
And meta means beyond. So in order to have physics, you usually have to have a worldview that is beyond physics to bring it back down into physics. And so many of us in the field now are understanding the necessity of having a worldview that is more than just the physical plane.
Absolutely.
And that's why we call it meta. Physics.
Yeah.
Mariah, you had something else you wanted to add to that.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, there are laws, and it states in Romans 8:2 that the law of sin and death, that Jesus Christ has set us free from the law of sin and death by the law of life. And so, therefore, I would suggest to you that the law of life is higher than the law of sin and death.
Absolutely.
So the laws,
well,
there's
I sense that that's true also. You know, belief systems, it turns out, are pretty arbitrary. They're those aspects that can't be proven one way or another. They can be felt, you can have faith, but they can't be, quote, proven. And so in that sense of it, often they're arbitrary. And if they are arbitrary, then you should probably try to select them that takes you further in the world.
You know, this is a big point because our caller is, in my view, dead on right. You know, the idea of free will and intuition are the drivers that make you human beings in the image of the Creator. It's intuition that gives us all that equal chance to make the next discovery. You know, I often have said that, you know, when everybody thought it was impossible, every scientist in the world said you could never get an aircraft heavier than air to fly, and and a couple of bicycle makers thought differently, you know. And you know what? That's a creative spark. That's what God delivers to each of us if we're open to it. And it transcends the science. That's what is interesting about the best on the edge of science today are recognizing that it's more than the math. You know, the math is the reflection of an inner order that we're trying to discover that is the creation. And I think our ability to impact the creation as created beings bears a great deal of responsibility. And all of these issues we're talking about today and in past shows are about accountability, responsibility. The word Richard keeps using today is intentionality. What are you intending to do? And are you really looking to do the right things? And, you know, those that seek the truth, there's no option. If you don't give it up, you're going to find it. And I think that's what science is about. That's what this program is about, is to try and find those things that spark our ability to really make a difference in not just the way we see the world, but also how we might impact it.
Yeah, we have a responsibility to try to, you know, to change the world, one must first change themselves. It's like you can't go out and change the world without that change occurring in you inside yourself. And so that's where you have to start. You have to start with yourself.
Yeah, you know, I think that's what our caller Mariah was really getting to, and I appreciate the call.
I did too, yeah.
You know, this is, it's important for all of us. You know, don't be nervous calling in. You know, it's
Can I say one more thing?
You bet.
Okay, one thing I wanted to say is that the Bible is the only book that has a multi-dimensional aspect in it. And
which Bible was that, ma'am?
The
was
Bible.
Was that the Greek Bible, the Hebrew one, the various English
Hebrew,
ones?
Well, you know, the Hebrew Bible.
Okay.
The God Yahweh, yes.
Yahweh.
It's the only one that has it speaks of multiple dimensions.
It also spoke, by the way, of multiple gods because Yahweh had a boss called Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. When I read that in the old Bibles, didn't see it in the English ones, but I read that in the old Bibles, it gave me the first inclination of what the Veils of Isis are all about. And Bob Dylan used to sing it when he said, everybody's got to serve somebody.
Right. Except there is
exactly.
One highest. There is one in authority.
That's right.
The highest authority.
There are, and we have bosses that have bosses. And so I'm not sure yet who our God is in my life, but I know it's not imaginable. I can't comprehend.
Right.
And dimensional physics is like that, too. You know, you can't go beyond a certain level. We're
right.
On a physical plane.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, we're locked in because of the way our brain processes information. We're set in a certain way of, what is it called, memes? Is that the way we group information, you know, emotionally, intellectually,
yeah.
Physically? Archetypally, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and infinity is beyond our concept.
Well,
right?
You know, it was George Gamow that wrote about the sets of infinity and how that there were different types of infinities, like the infinity of rational numbers was less.
Infinity, as far as I can see.
I know. See, I'm trying to go beyond the physics part of it.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no roadmap.
As long as you're honest, you'll find it, because I disagree with that. You don't. There's no proof in that. You can't prove it in the laboratory.
Yeah.
But you can prove it. You can prove that the concept and the principles are true, because I have done it.
Yeah, that goes back to Descartes. You know, Descartes was the one that's besides, you know, separating the mind from the body.
It goes back to scripture, as far as I'm concerned.
What's that?
It goes back to scripture.
You know, Mariah, I appreciate the call because it really, you know, there's lots of things that,
a good tone.
That indicate the truth. And we see it manifest. And when you look at multiple dimensions, which, you know, Christian religion talks about in different words, but it's the same thing. You know, Richard wrote one of the first papers on the holographic universe back in the 70s, which is now being referenced by leading Russian researchers in trying to define this reality. And it's interesting because it really parallels all this old knowledge. You know, science is the rediscovery of universal laws and principles, and we do it in little bite-sized bits, and I think Richard would agree we're still in kindergarten, and maybe we remain there for as long
as we have been in
world.
Kindergarten. We've been set back because we're not doing it right. You know, the Aborigines and the Hopi and some of these other more what we would call primitive tribes are capable of doing things we can't. How does that work?
Yeah, you know, it's again, you know, these are the things that bridge and breach the unknown, and this is where the science gets a lot more interesting. Mariah, I appreciate the call. We got Marilyn holding in California, so I'm going to go ahead and work her in.
Thanks, by the way. That was a nice set of questions.
Well, hello, gentlemen. When I heard Mariah come on, I was sitting here listening to you folks, and I always like to listen to Dr. Begich because you talk about things that I'm interested in. I wanted to call in to make a comment. I want to make an extension of what Mariah said. When
sure.
I heard your guest there, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name.
I'm Rick. Rick Miller.
Yeah,
Richard Allen Miller.
One of the first things I heard you say is you were searching for truth. Now, I know where that's at. I'm also a scientist. I come from a scientific background. I had a long search for the truth. What is truth? What's reality? And then I heard you say, well, I looked at the Bible, I looked at the Torah, and it wasn't there. And, you know, all I can say is, and I want to say this completely because I care about you, I'm really sorry you didn't find truth there. I ultimately found my truth, as Mariah did, in the Bible, in faith. I mean, faith is, takes a leap of consciousness. There is an absolute. That absolute is the God of the Bible, Yahweh. And I think I just want to recommend something to you. There's a man who's a mathematician, also a very devout Christian, Dave Hunt. He's just a fabulous man. He's a wonderful writer. He has written a couple of books on the very topic you're talking about. One of them is called Seeking and Finding God. The other is Battle for the Mind. It's written for the intellectual who's looking for something. And I just want to recommend if you want to continue to look, you might consider reading their small books, but he's fabulous.
You know, what I did is I studied under Gershom Scholem, who was a Zadi in Kabbalah. I went in that direction, and when I said I didn't find truth, that's not true. I found lots of things. I didn't find answers. Is more exactly. I mean, well, there's a difference, honestly.
Answers. There are answers. The answer lies in the salvation offered by Jesus Christ. That's all I've got to say. And I know it's trite to people who don't, and even the Bible says it is foolishness to man who don't believe, but that's all I can say. That's true.
I agree with all of that part. Faith is probably one of my most important tools. It's a tool. It's like a hammer or something. I can make things with it.
Marilyn, I appreciate the call, and I want to just amplify a couple things. You know, and I agree with Marilyn. If you keep looking, you keep seeking, it's clear you'll find all those answers. And I think that's the hallmark of an honest human being. You know, there's a lot of people warming a lot of benches around the country who really haven't come to that full knowledge and are saying, "Hey, I believe this," but maybe they don't. You know, it's better to be a seeker. And honest.
That's the right word. Seeker. That's
exactly.
A good word.
Exactly. And as you seek the truth, it reveals itself. Each of us finds that truth. You know, I think about Solomon when I think about the way people searched, and King Solomon in the Old Testament, for those who remember, looked in every occult area of his time. And at the end of the day, he kind of came back to this conclusion that it was all nonsense anyway. You're standing in it. You know, you're in the middle of creation. You're created in the image of the Creator. Claim your birthright and act like it. And I think that's
an excellent quote, Mark. That's an excellent quote. You know, in fact, that's more accurate because, in fact, what I was trying to say is when I said I didn't find truth, I didn't say I didn't find truth. I said I didn't find answers. And because of that, I realized that the answers are inside myself. They're not in a book. They're not in scriptures. They're within myself. I am scriptures. And what I needed to do was realize that what I'm missing is that connectivity between my mind and my body. And that's what I've been striving to try to do now, is find that connectivity of how the two relate to each other, because that will be the answer, probably.
Well, you know, and creation is, you know, it started with a word, if you read the creation story, and then that put everything in motion. So, you know, what we say, what we do matters, being honest intellectually matters, and the idea that scientists can approach these areas of the unknown in a way that, you know, doesn't necessarily end there, and that's what I think you're really saying, is it didn't end there. It just propelled you into continuing.
To the next level, right.
Yeah,
that's exactly
right. And
so it's like layers of an onion.
Yeah, it's the challenge of it all. Each of us come to the knowledge of the truth in different ways, and I think that's what's powerful and unique. And I think that's what makes it interesting, quite frankly. And all roads for those that seek the truth lead to the same direction. We've got Woody in Pennsylvania. Woody, are you still hanging in there with us?
Yes, I am.
Good.
All right.
Cool.
What I called in about, you guys were talking about that thing that gives you more oxygen.
Right,
yeah.
Cordyceps.
You have a phone number where that stuff can be obtained.
You can give
out
my phone
oxygen
number if you want to make that point.
Sure. We have a product called Eighth Element. It is on our website at earthpulse.com. It's a hybridized cordyceps product. You can also get it by calling 888-690-1277. Again, it's 888-690.
Hang on, I've got to get something to write here. I have to.
I'll give it again in a minute.
Hey.
You can go, if you call, the product name is Eighth Element. It's $20 a unit plus shipping. That gives you a month's supply. And you can get it again by calling 888-690-1277 and just ask for Eighth Elements, or leave a number and we'll call you back.
Okay, and you say it is on your website?
Yeah, we just put it up in the last couple of days. We just came in from our encapsulator, so it's brand new. It's on our website at earthpulse.com.
Hey, Woody, whatever he recommends, try twice as much and see what happens. Trust me on that one. I don't mean like Max Headroom. It will surprise the hell out of you. It will really surprise you what happens. Oxygen, there's no way you're kind of maybe sort of. Yeah, there's no question you're going to feel something different.
Well,
you know,
my trouble is that the work that I did, I contaminated my lungs.
Oh, you've got lung damage?
Right.
I'm sorry. Was that asbestos?
Yeah, that was part of it.
That's this is an excellent supplement for that very problem, by the way. That is exactly why you have problems, because your ovia are not taking the oxygen in right, and this will sidestep that by going directly to the cell.
Will it help to remedy the problem?
I don't know. We haven't done studies on that. I don't know. What I do know is you will immediately feel different and better. I don't think it will repair your lung.
You know, this.
I don't know that.
It gets oxygen into the body, which is the function of the lung, so this is...
It'll supplement, but I don't know that it will repair.
Right, right. And this is something, again, you know, the studies that... You know, continue to need to be done.
Oh, there's tons of things, yeah.
There's so many. And in this area, if you look at our websites, there's a lot of those studies posted. A lot of that information is searchable, so you can get that data. And, you know, again, it's the kind of thing that when we look at technology, and we've always said this, you know, we've got to find those answers that increase our potentials on all levels if we're going to address this century with our full capacity. And I think that's a lot of what's been missing in the equation. You know, so many things have sort of depressed our immune system, depressed our energy levels, depressed our thinking. I mean, all of the things that are floating around us today that take away from us, it's time to add some things in. And a lot of it is, you know, not even dealing with supplements or any of this. It's dealing with the attitude, how we look at the world.
I'd like to have Woody do a follow-up. If he starts taking this this Eighth Element, I would appreciate a follow-up. I'd like to know how it helped you. I'd really would like to know more about that, because supposedly this is bypassing the lungs, of which most people's work normally, which means if yours does not work normally and this helps you, that's very interesting.
Okay, one other question. Would you guys repeat that phone number again so I make sure I've got it right?
All right, it's 888-690-1277, and just ask about Eighth Elements. And it's $20 a month supply, and shipping and handling is added on to that.
Okay, thank you very much, fellows, and I definitely will be trying this.
All right, Woody, thanks for the call. We appreciate it, and you know, I wish you well on.
Yeah, I do too, because there's a lot of people with that lung damage stuff. The shipyard people, I had people next door to me that died because of working in shipyards and so on. It's old schools that we used to go to, you know, they all used asbestos.
Well, you know, this is, again, the changes in science as we learn more about the body and about our health. We sort of drop a lot of things. That's one of the other things that's happening right now with technology advancing as rapidly as it is. You know, we're still unraveling problems from 40 and 50 years ago, and we haven't even looked at what we've created for ourselves, say, even the last 6 months. I mean, the kind
that's
of things that are happening technologically are happening so rapidly. There's very little time to assess what the impacts truly might be. We're coming up on the music. We got one more segment before the top of the hour and the end of the show today. You're listening to Dr. Nick Begich on the program Changing the Way We See the World, RBN Live. And my guest is Richard Allen Miller, and we'll be right back right after this break. And welcome back to Changing the Way We See the World with Dr. Nick Begich and our guest, Richard Allen Miller. And we've been talking primarily about the pharmaceutical and health-related subjects, so primarily talking about cordyceps, a supplement being used for anti-cancer, diabetes, a number of things as a supplement, basically increasing energy in the body. Pretty exciting stuff. We had a couple of different callers. We can still take we still have time for at least one more caller in this segment. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. Richard, we're getting into the last segment.
Yeah, I'd like to end with a statement, a simple statement that I end a lot of my talks with when I say, so as chemistry has come out of alchemy, so now magic will emerge from physics. Magic was always reserved for the ultra elite of Europe for centuries. It is, in fact, a higher form of physics in that it is an art form like sculpting or painting. It is the art of changing consciousness at will. And that is the center point of most of all of my work. I think that it is primary. That's the mystery element having to do with consciousness and the imagination.
You know, it's interesting because I think most listeners would agree, you know, that that's from where all things spring. And then the big issue that remains is really the intentionality question.
That's bottom line.
You know, what are you intending? What are you looking for?
What's
claiming
your purpose?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, what I find interesting is so many people find a little bit of truth within the occult or metaphysics, and then they grab onto it and claim it as the only truth, and the search stops. And I think that's what's been exciting about your quest over probably since a young child. I think we've talked enough, so maybe 50 years of looking, and the search never ends. And I think
it's
for
the
you,
seeker. You called it a seeker, someone that is seeking. That's the center point.
Yeah, and it's, you know, and I think for those with the Christian philosophy, understand clearly that the message, seek and ye shall find, knock and doors will be opened to you. And I think that's the essence of good science, the essence of the creative effort,
and really of good living, of being a right livelihood, all of it.
And, you know, so, you know, it's not in the arrival, it's in the search that matters. Make sure it's done with integrity. Listeners that are tuning in today, we've covered a lot of subject matter. Next week we're going to be on again, covering technology issues. You know, there's a lot to be said for what we've covered today. You know, take a look at the websites. Take a look at Richard's site at NW for Northwest, NW Botanicals. .org. Take a look at the research site for Earth Pulse, which is the earthpulse.com site for information on us. And then for research materials provided for Earth Pulse, take a look at the layinstitute.org and take a look at what's there and what's available there. You know, over the years, science continues to advance. This area is going to continue to advance. In the area of dietary supplements, you know, we're going to bring you back again and talk about that. But even more interesting, the work that you and I are doing on enhancing the human performance.
How to use all these terrible technologies for maybe the evolution of consciousness. It's about time.
Yeah, and, you know, I think there's a lot of interest in that, and it's sort of rediscovering the creative capacity of human beings. It's
fun being with you, Nick, by the way.
Hey, it's a pleasure to have you, Richard.
Hey.
I'm glad you were with me today. Listeners out there, tune in next week Wednesday, 11 to 1 p.m. Central Time. This is Dr. Nick Begich, and you've been listening to Changing the Way We See the World on RBN Live.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Richard. Take care, buddy.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.